In a country where few speak out for the rights of many, where the foundation this country was built on is disintegrating, someone's gotta hold our leaders accountable. Feet to the fire.
Still running that new music intro. I think we are. I don't know. Hopefully it works. But if it's on, I like it. Welcome back to Feet to the Fire, the new voice of conservative dissent, as well as the continued conversation of mediocre talkers. That's my friend. Sorry, guys. Look, they're all nervous. Like how are we going to do it? We can do, I could do 50 of these episodes because listen, I'm a professional host. I do this in my woodshed all the time on my own little computer. I'm not like somebody living in his basement playing video games. So we're good to go. I just want to hit these other candidates real quick because there's one fundamental problem with all of them. So welcome back, folks. Here we go. We got the civil servant and we got the conservative commuter. And we've hit most of the big issues on the top candidates like Trump and Cruz. I want to talk about the other ones. And like I was just saying, the biggest problem we're facing right now is illegal immigration and amnesty, and that's what got Trump all of his traction, is because the country is just fed up with Obama flooding the border with illegal miners and inviting people in, getting them over. And so Trump comes out there, he makes all these strong conservative comments and shutting it down. We like that. But my concern is fundamentally, most of the other candidates are wrong on this big issue, from Rubio to Jeb. But let's just go one by one. We'll end with Rubio because when conservatives don't go to Trump and they don't go to Cruz, they kind of default end up with Rubio. That seems to be a thing. So we'll end with that. We talked about Kasich Ninja Hands. My dad was a postman. We talked about Chris Christie, who is a New Jersey blue Republican. Blue means Democrat, by the way. Red is Republican. So he's basically a moderate. Let's go with Jeb Bush. What's Jeb Bush's problem? Thoughts from anybody? Because I got problems with him. I mean, is he the establishment guy? That's the first problem. He's the establishment guy.
Yeah, I think for me the what binds Jeb Bush and Rubio together is the immigration issue, and obviously it plays well with the whole country. And obviously, I think we, meaning all of us in America, are on the same page on this thing. And I read a blog by Matt so and such or other, conservative guy. He gets a lot of play, has a lot of listeners and whatnot. And his point of view was like, no Trump, let's at least go Rubio. Rubio's not such a bad choice. And he likes Cruz the best, but Rubio's not Rubio's got to stop bashing Rubio as this, like, what do you call it? Establishment guy. Yeah. Here's my point. As soon as you lose the battle, and this would be Jeb or Rubio, as soon as you lose the battle of the border, all other issues don't matter
at all.
You can think what you think about gay marriage. You can think what you think about jobs, the economy. You can think what you think about anything. But when you erode your ability to be a cohesive people that have a definition and have an establishment of assimilation, then your rules are only as stable as your population is. If it's in constant flux, you can't abide by laws that are permanent when your population is constantly in flux. Your laws are going to reflect your people, and it's not going to. So when you lose the argument with Jeb and Rubio on this immigration thing, you're toast. And I think if we bring the whole immigration thing down to a personal level, compassion plays well. That's why the Democrats' line plays well all the time. People needing food, people needing shelter, people, and we're a compassionate people, America, right? The thing is, if you whittle it down to like a really small at-home scenario, picture you in your own house, you have provisions, you have more than your neighbor, you have more than the homeless guy on the street. But when your house is invaded by homeless, they start walking in your door without your permission. Would any of us agree that that's okay?
No
amount of compassion would make us say, oh yeah, that's okay that they walk in without me opening the door
and stay.
And then a normal average guy would look at his pantry and say, I have enough to feed my kids And then after that, I'll give everything I got to the guy coming in the door. But I have children in my house. I have a wife in my house. But again, no one would just invite in, let's say, 300 homeless guys, and you only have food to feed 8 people of a 4-person home. You know, maybe you could take in 4 guys if you wanted to, if they were going to work, if they didn't have drug habits, if they weren't going to rape your wife. Yeah, okay, we'll take those guys in. But on a national level, the Democrats just simply say, and I'm sorry, Jeb and Rubio and these types, they just say, hey, look, we got the food. Our pantry's full. It must mean we can have as many as we can. Hey, background checks. How good are these background checks? And, you know, the proof is in the pudding. Look at the culture. Look at what's happening, man.
And the FBI would tell you straight up, especially with the Syrian migration, the background checks aren't worth anything. And that's the thing.
No one's articulating this stuff small enough for people to get it.
No, you make a great point. Everybody who's pro-amnesty and pro-open border, from liberals to establishment Republicans, they're hypocritical because no one leaves their front door wide open and unlocked, particularly these elitist politicians who live on their big estates. And before I hand it over to the civil servant, one thing to back up what CC was saying, it is the core issue. And if you haven't listened to the Feet to Fire episode on illegal immigration, you got to go back and listen and get informed. You have to, because you have to understand it is the number one issue, because if we lose it, if we lose illegal immigration, keep the border open and give amnesty, we lose the country. You can't win any of the other debates, because it fundamentally transforms the electorate. And the word electorate means the people that vote. It fundamentally transforms them. And the evidence, as I've said before, is California. In the Simpson-Mazzoli Amnesty Act of 84, 86 under Reagan, I forget which year, but that was not a good thing he did. He was snookered and forced to compromise with the liberals. They promised border security. They never got it. But when they did that amnesty, because California had such a high rate of illegals, all those people became immediate voting citizens. Primarily poor, uneducated, and not assimilated. Obviously, they get kicked onto welfare and they support government programs, which means immediate voting Democrats. Amnesty, as has been said so many times, I'll say it again, is all it is a Democrat voter drive. And when they got their amnesty in California, they became all voting Democrats and had an immediate permanent majority. California, which was prior to that conservative, has been blue and will stay blue ever since, precisely because of amnesty given to illegals. That's going to happen to the whole country. And once that happens, we lose on every other issue because we can't outvote an entire majority Democrat voting bloc that now makes up the electorate because all the illegals got the right to vote. You see what I'm saying? Man, it's such a deadly issue. So that's the problem with Rubio and Bush.
Yeah, and the funny thing with all these compromises is the border security is always kind of, and we'll do that later. After we institute this, we'll do that. It's like in a baseball trade. You make the trade, and then there's a player to be named later, and you never hear about that guy or know that he even comes to the team. And we've never actually secured the border. So I think we would all agree that the first step, you have to secure the border. And this is where, you know, I could turn into my feet catching on fire, because you'll probably rebuke me in front of all your listeners for this. But after that, I give much more latitude about what the plan is, because sure, it would be great to deport all of them, but it's an impossibility with the money it would take, the manpower. A whole new government agency would have to be set up to round everybody up and deport them, and I just don't know that it's feasible. So if there's a candidate, we'll at least just make that first that first attempt to say we're going to secure our border, whether it's a wall, whether it's more manpower. I don't know what the answer. It's a big border. I don't know a wall is going to do it. But that's all I'm looking for is what I'm
saying. Yeah, and I hear you. And the problem is the rhinos promised that, and then they still want to buy their own votes with the amnesty after the fact. Let me criticize civil servant with a backdoor compliment. I'll sneak you from behind, because I got to give credit. When Trump first came on the scene, I got swept up precisely because of his position on immigration and on the border. And he is pro, you know, deportation and pro, you know, shutting down the border. And that's why I loved him. And civil servant, you were constantly saying to me, he sounds good, but I don't know if he's true blue conservative, can't trust him. And now months later, all this stuff's starting to bubble out. And where I was a little bit more, I was never like totally wanted Trump as my guy, but I was much more open to the idea because of his position on immigration, how much of a big deal that is. Now I've swung and I'm agreeing with civil servant here on how Trump pretty much, I mean, guys, if he gets the R and he gets the nomination, I think we still have to, we're a two-party system, get behind our nominee. But I hope he doesn't get it, and I don't think he should be our guy. So I agree with civil servant much more on that. But I got to disagree on the amnesty thing, on the, you know, I understand latitude. Yeah, there's going to be some latitude in what we do. But the primary position, I really feel, should be deportation. And to bring it onto the Rubio thing, because he's such a hot item amongst Republicans, the establishment's warming up to him. The problem was the Gang of Eight bill. He was pro in the name of border security. We would get border security. He promised border security. That's what that bill was. We are going to give amnesty to all the illegals. And that's lethal. We can't reward criminal activity and violating the law. So, you know, that's where I'm at. Rubio, for Jeb Bush, I'm going to go a little bit long here on my segment. Sorry, guys, but I'm the host. I can do that. Jeb Bush, I mean, he's the same thing with amnesty, which is establishment Republicans. That's why their first guy was him originally, but he's not doing well, so they moved to Rubio. Jeb Bush goes on. Civil servant. This is why I'm not in favor of the amnesty, because they're clearly trying to buy votes as much as the Democrats are amongst the illegals. Jeb Bush goes on Spanish television and starts speaking Spanish in the interview. Like, that's supposed to be some wonderfully politically correct thing. We all got to get behind him. Oh, he speaks Spanish. He's so open-minded and loves everybody. No, he's an idiot. He's an idiot for that. I'm sorry to say it, but we speak English. English is the language and should be the official language. And we don't need a candidate bowing to foreign illegals that are trespassing illegally onto our property, bowing down to them, speaking their language to try and create some voter solidarity so we can court their vote. That, to me, is the epitome of compromise and moderate, you know, milquetoast, waste of time, establishment Republicans. We don't need that, and I think you're definitely get that with Bush. And unfortunately, on this issue, I think you're getting it with Rubio, and that is such a turnoff to me. I don't know where you're at on that.
Yeah, I just want to qualify what I said before, because I'm in no way in favor of amnesty. It's just the deportation's one end, amnesty's the other, and the Kennets have a lot of ideas of what happens in the middle, and that's kind of what I have the latitude on, that middle ground of what to do with them. I'm not saying make them all citizens and keep them, but
Civil servant for the record, because he just totally destroyed his entire radio career.
I've never invited back to the woodshed.
He's not pro amnesty. Is there any room for deportation for you? There's got to be.
Well, there is.
Drug lords.
There is.
Rapists. And terrorists.
I would say do it. I just don't think it's feasible.
Oh, come on, man. World superpower.
That's the only thing I would say. For a government that can promise everyone the internet, a college degree, free health care. But there's money coming from somewhere.
When has the government ever done anything well and efficient?
Law enforcement.
John Kasich, the postman, the post service. His dad was in it.
That was very successful. No, I think when it comes to law enforcement and military, you know, the enforcement executive arm of the U.S. government, it is efficient and effective. And look, we could spend, you know, 50 episodes on the minutia of this. The idea is that something's got to be done, and it can't be a unilateral amnesty for all the illegals. The other problem with Bush, let me just throw out there and we'll get off Bush. His last name. I mean, I'm the first guy at the front of the line to say, forget how a candidate looks, even how his persona is, what his name is, doesn't matter. If the guy is to the core conservative, go with him. But I'm on record saying, even if it was Ronald Reagan come back to life or Ted Cruz himself, if the last name is Bush, just it's done. Sorry, buddy. You seem like a great candidate, but you can't do it. I mean, could you imagine if the guy's last name was Bittler? Nobody would vote for him, as conservative as he was, or if he was a Democrat, as liberal as he was, to appease his voting Democrat base.
I don't know.
Well, maybe they'd vote for a Bittler because they're liberals. But
consider Obama, Joe Biden.
Yeah, you're right. Osama bin Laden, Joe Biden, Obama bin Biden. I mean, there's
all sorts of confusing.
It very does. But the point is, the name. That's a great point. You're still stealing my show. We went over this in the last episode. Conservative commuter, please.
Obama, Joe Biden.
That's,
forget it.
Yeah, don't forget that. You're right. Well, the liberals would vote for it because they're so
adept at undermining everything we believe in.
Yeah, and they're frothy mouthed and rabid and will vote party line regardless. But the thing is, Bush, we're gonna have another Bush Clinton election. This is crazy. Bush is out. So Rubio, let's just be clear here. Nice guy. I understand.
I just pictured. I'm bartending. Sorry. Two of them.
No, go ahead. They're all from Florida.
They're on a debate. They're on the stage. Okay, so you got Jeb Bush. He's speaking nothing but Spanish. And you got Hillary Clinton. She's behind glass because no one can speak to her directly because she's in jail. So you figure that out. How's that going to play in the media?
Man, you got your own show.
No,
you good?
I have a lot of time on my commute to come up with stuff.
Conservative stuff. Why don't you come up with a name for your show, like Feet to the Ice?
Yeah, something like that.
That's no
pedal
good.
To the metal. Yeah,
pedal to the metal. I guess I got the show. All right, well, here's the thing. So Bush is out. Rubio, like I said, the bartending dad. Look, the thing about Rubio, and Ann Coulter wrote a great article, a commentary on this after the first debate. I got to give him credit. When he looks in the camera, the guy is good. He is conservative. But here's what Ann Coulter said. He's got a lot of platitudes and a lot of conservative, like, phraseology. So he says these things that, like, warm the conservative heart and woo the crowd. But that's kind of all it is with Rubio, and that gets old after a while. So even though he sounds that way, again, the immigration thing takes him off the table. And the fact that he's not consistently, outspokenly conservative on every issue. I'm sorry. We need a Ronald Reagan. We need a Ted Cruz. All right. You mentioned civil servant mentioned Ben Carson last time. I'm sorry. The CC mentioned him. Other thoughts on Ben Carson? I mean, a lot of Christians are going behind, a lot of conservatives. I like him, but what's the deal here?
No, I like him a lot.
He's just that.
Watch me be shallow. He's just like, like, I don't need to hear that.
I know that sounds
crazy. Like, I can't hear him being like, I'm going to build a wall. You're like, okay, all right. But he did, you know what? With that same voice, he goes, we're going to have drone strikes and we're going to, like, shoot people who come over the border. So that was pretty legit.
No, I know. The fact that we all kind of don't have much to say on Ben Carson is the problem with Ben Carson. He's just, I love him. He's great, but he's not, Reagan was the great communicator.
He'd be better than Trump.
He'd be better than Trump. Oh, let me, for the record, can I go down the line? I don't know if you guys want to do this. This is great. See? Conservative community. I'm sorry, civil servant. You're probably feeling like overlooked, not loved. You're great, man. Whoa. You're great. You're great in here.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Do I get to go first to give my line of who I vote for?
Let me do it because I'm on the edge of my seat to get mine. I'm the host, so I'm going to use the bully pulpit. Here's the line for me. I'm going Ted Cruz. Then nobody's going to believe me on this, and I might lose a lot of people. But I'd be going... all right, let me go. Ted Cruz, Ben Carson, that's fine. And then I'd go Rand Paul. Because I lean more libertarian on some issues. Less government is better than the other stuff. Then probably after that, I can't believe I'm saying it. I'd have to go Trump. And then on down the line. I mean, after that, it's like picking Mr. Magoo versus Mickey Mouse. I don't know, you know, what's worth listing it after that point. But what do you got, civil servant?
Yeah, it's almost a futile exercise because there's so many. And at some point, you get into that mishmash of people that just
that are worthless.
Yeah, yeah. And no offense if they're listening to this series.
Oh, they are.
You're a real human being. We love you. I mean, I think, and as I alluded to a couple shows ago, I'm gonna make my formal announcement of who I'm backing. And,
That's right.
My selection, we don't have a drum roll, would be Ted Cruz for sure. And probably seen it in some of my discussion here, but Ted Cruz, after that, Ben Carson, he doesn't have the charisma, the gumption that I think you need, and I was looking at some of his policy points today, and. Some of them just, I think they're kind of lofty ideals, but he might be second. And actually, you're going to hate me for this. I would go Rubio.
Ugh.
I know.
Well, he was, what was he for me? I don't know, he was 4 or 5. Why? Well, I wouldn't go
Trump because he's such a wild card to me that I don't know what you're going to get.
Well, I'll tell you what, you're bringing me around on that. I'm even more bringing Trump down on my list here. And that's what if people are listening, I can't understand for the life of me why. You know, here's what you get with Trump. You get a lot of people that have that renegade Americanism. And I'm not criticizing that. I like that. I like that individualism of America, that anti-establishment impulse, that renegade, not I don't mean civil insurrection, but the renegade, get the government off my back, that impulse that drives the supporters of Trump, which I love, they're missing the boat. That's not Trump. He's not the renegade. He is I got a text message from a friend of mine, and he said, just because Trump is campaigning on anti-establishment doesn't mean that he can't just as quickly become establishment. And these people who are kind of that renegade Americanism, that is the opposite of Trump. It's not him. So I don't know why they keep getting behind him. They should be getting behind a guy that's a real renegade like Ted Cruz.
And I just want to add in, probably maybe third on my list would be Kasich's dad, the postmaster, because that just... you know, strikes a chord with me. And I think I put it together. His dad is Newman from Seinfeld.
Okay.
I think so.
Maybe I'm coming around on Kasich. Yeah. No, not at all. Let me read what my buddy read, because he encapsulated Trump so well. Just because Trump isn't technically part of the establishment, he said, in Washington, doesn't mean he doesn't have establishment qualities. Look at his past. He's made donations to Hillary, Harry Reid, and establishment Republicans like McConnell. I mean, that's dead on. We didn't even talk about that. He's donated to these people, Democrats. He supports nationalized health care, as well as a progressive income tax. He's also called himself, quote, very pro-choice. If you notice, the Washington elites, this is true, check the news, guys, the Washington elites are starting to warm up to Trump because they think they can work with him. They're never going to warm up to Cruz because they know he'll actually make changes. We cannot settle for Trump when we have a Reagan-esque candidate in the race. People need to wake up.
That's a good text.
Isn't that a good text? Couldn't have said it better. And I'll add this one other thing nobody's really said. Trump goes to Iowa. Talk about establishment, buy my votes, court the votes. Classic establishment pattern. He goes to Iowa and says, oh yeah, I'm pro-ethanol because there's corn farmers in Iowa. Pro-ethanol is pro-global warming and pro-big government regulation and completely the opposite of conservative. No conservative goes for that. Cruz, who is an authentic conservative, didn't waver one bit. Even in the face of Iowa voters, said, sorry, I was against the ethanol mandates and subsidies, and today and tomorrow I'll be the same. Trump goes there and courts the vote. I mean, how more establishment can you get? Why do renegade people think Trump's a renegade? He's not. Go ahead. Conservative commuter, what's your breakdown on the candidates?
Breakdown on the candidates. I'm going to start with my second one and go down, and I'll give you the first one at the end. So the second guy I would go with
is Kasich.
Is Cruz, actually.
What? You better give us the punchline or you're out. You're out.
So I would go second on Cruz because he is the most conservative guy on that stage. And that goes a long way with me. And he's super articulate. And I mean, just there's just a little bit of edge I'm missing from him. Just a little bit.
A little fiery edge.
Yeah, it's because he's respectful. He's a good guy.
I think he could
turn it up just a little bit.
Yeah.
Just torch. He's going to beat Trump in the brain department so bad.
Yeah.
He could just, you know, have at it. Take it to the shed.
We got time for this one comment I want to throw in. No,
all right. No,
I was done. Yeah,
what?
No, you're not done. But throw this in. You mentioned that in the last episode. I kind of got on you. I will say the reason conservatives are attracted to Trump, conservative talk show hosts, even conservatives like me initially, is because he does have the mouth that we need to say what needs to be said.
Think about it. You got Christie, too. That's why people like Christie,
because he says it.
Both of those got Christie is... closet liberal on a lot of stuff, and Trump isn't a proven conservative, but because they're both obnoxious, everyone loves them.
So
we need a little bit of obnoxious.
We need a little bit of that from Cruz. I agree with you. That's why people. That's the attribute of Trump that gets them the attention. The teddy bear. I like that. The teddy bear. All right, go.
So number two is Ted Cruz. Number three would be Carson because. I think he's good to go. I just, you know, his public speaking is leaving a little bit to be desired, but
we've all been like together on that. Ted Cruz, right. Carson, I'm assuming your first thing is some sort of...
Well, the third is going to be the Tasmanian devil because he seems quite hawkish and aggressive. And I think you'd have to like balance that with a Cookie Monster VP because he's a happy guy. He's kind of funny. He's like Joe Biden. He's kind of like... he has that kind of appeal.
That's
Joe. I mean,
Joe.
We know from one... there's Joe again, and there's cookies flying all over the screen. Number four might be Voltron or the Power Rangers toss-up, and you have, like, a community of thought there. I was thinking Captain Planet, too, but then I was like, whoa, big environmental movement. You got that little guy with the heart ring. I don't want him anywhere near power.
I'm interrupting with, I like the fact that you have such little respect for the candidates that you haven't mentioned anybody after Carson. That's high.
And then we got the fifth one, last one, only because I've heard she's incredibly, you get the female vote, the Latino vote, Dora the Explorer.
I knew it.
She's supposed to be very conservative. She's very conservative, and she's got the built-in VP with that monkey guy. No, she'd be in the debate like this. She'd be like, so does anyone see anything wrong with Hillary? And then she'd just stare at you for the next 5 minutes.
And it'd be
while you're like, stop looking at me. And then after that, I'd go for Kasich's dad.
Kasich's dad. Oh, let me. That's good.
You want to be number one.
I want to say one thing about Dora before we go. The thing is, you guys got to understand, listeners, all kidding aside, we're having fun here. The establishment would rather, I know you're serious, would rather Dora over Ted Cruz. That's how much they hate Ted Cruz, which is the clearest signal we should get behind Ted Cruz, because he's the one they hate the most without question. They'd take Trump over Cruz. They'd take a cartoon over Cruz. Go.
And number one is I'd have to go with the host of Feet to the Fire. Are you kidding me?
Ooh.
Killing.
Wow. I wasn't expecting
that. Whoa.
Are you kidding? You'd get this every State of the Union. People would be, be telling people to shut up, sit down. Let's just get it done. Talk about principle over popularity. I mean, you will find it nowhere greater.
And your ratings prove it.
Oh, civil servant's not coming back. Conservative commuter is now a co-host. VP. Hey, that was very nice. I like to say I'm from New Jersey, and that's a very honorable thing to just hear mentioned about me. Well, no time soon, but maybe someday down the road. And if that's the case, I will remember you for your comments. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the candidates, and that is Feet to the Fire giving you the breakdown. Thank you very much. Keep listening. Check the website. And can you please, for crying out loud, go to the right side, write down your name and your email, sign up for the blog. Let justice roll down like waters, America, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. Don't believe the hype out there. There's one conservative. It's Ted Cruz. And I've said it before, and I'm going to say it again. I should have started this episode with it again. Go to tedcruz.org and send the guy some money. I'm interrupting. I'm not going to put these guys on the spot, but I meant to ask them because that'd get really awkward. Have you guys, my guest hosts, sent any money yet to Ted Cruz? Christians, conservatives, go on the website. Stop sipping your lattes. I know it's so comfortable in your wealthy American middle-class status to go out to eat every other week at Applebee's. Sacrifice. Take the money that you're going to give to pay the bill and send it to a conservative candidate, because you are a citizen voter and need to be involved and need to make some sacrifices to propel conservatism forward in this generation. TedCruz.org. And if people argue with you and say that you're wasting your money, I don't know, take their wallet, take their money and send it over. And then go ahead, hold their feet to the fire.